Hello, and welcome to This Week at Charlestown Road, a branch of the Heaven Bound podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Shouse, and this is where we reflect on the weekend that was. We dig a little deeper into a recent sermon to give you something to think about as this week unfolds, but also preview what's to come this next weekend at Charlestown Road. Roger, you spoke this past Sunday, and you used a great principle from Ezekiel chapter 3.
It's good to be here. We are in our studio, and it's good to be with our listeners today. We are still not in the church building yet to meet on Sundays, but we're doing the best we can by videotaping things, and everything we have is on our website. And so Ezekiel 3:15 talked about the prophet sitting among the exiles. They were in Babylon, and the word exile is used multiple times in the book of Ezekiel. And the principle was that Ezekiel was sitting where they were sitting. And what a great principle that is as we think about trying to understand or try to connect with other people. As we get older in life, sometimes generation differences and sometimes other factors in life, and we forget what it's like. We forget what it's like to be a teenager. We forget what it's like to be someone else. And so God had Ezekiel sitting right among them. And he wasn't better than they were. He wasn't above them, but he was right there. And that's a wonderful principle. It's always stuck with me, this idea of, especially as preachers, sometimes we are up behind the pulpit, but we need to be in the pew too, because we are just a member like everyone else.
You brought out four common denominators that are important for all of us to see. If you have not yet watched that sermon, I'd really encourage you to go back and watch that at charlestownroad.org. But as I was watching, unfortunately not in person, in my own living room, but as I was watching, what stood out to me as something good to explore for this week at Charlestown Road, this episode, was from 2 Peter 1, verse 9. And you asked in your interactive outline just the simple question, have we forgotten? That's a warning given to us by the Holy Spirit through Peter in his second letter, a warning that is worth thinking about even today. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9, whoever lacks these qualities, and you might remember that Peter has just mentioned that we start with faith and we add to our faith virtue and knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, and love. 2 Peter 1:9 says, whoever lacks those qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Have we forgotten? That's a vitally important question, because we can easily forget things that as Christians we need to remember. Now, in this particular context, of course, it's former sins. And both of those words are important. Sin is what God calls it. We need to call what had alienated us from God sin. It was more eternally serious than a mistake. It wasn't just a misstep or, you know, an unfortunate incident. God calls it sin, but he's calling us to view those things as former things. We're no longer participating in those things. Those things can't continue to be the air that we breathe and the water in which we swim. We can easily forget that.
And when we do, we're likely to return to those very things. The very nature of remembering these things, and in this we're going to be talking about some ways in which we can remember, and it will help us. But Peter's point in all this is, had you remembered where you came from, had you remembered what your life was like before Jesus, you would be adding faith, you'd be adding knowledge, you'd be adding self, all these things would be coming to you. You'd be realizing what a blessing it is to be in Jesus. But because you have forgotten, you've forgotten where you came from, you've forgotten what the Lord has done to you, you've not grown. You've not added these things. And in many ways, although they could call themselves Christians, they were really close to that borderline of going right back to where they came from. And that's just a dangerous, dangerous place to be. And so let's talk about what are some things that are easy to forget. And let's just kind of begin with that, Jason.
Sure. Not only is it this former sins idea, but as you and I were just talking about this in just brainstorming where to go with this episode, one of the things you mentioned was it's easy to forget people who have helped us in the past.
There's been all kinds of people, and every one of us that's a child of God stand upon the shoulders of others. It might have been a mother and father who brought us the services and all those lessons we had at home, and they were teaching us and warning us and guiding us. It might have been a godly grandma, grandpa. It might have been some folks when we first started as Christians, and maybe there was that godly shepherd in our life. Maybe there was our Bible class teacher. But all of us have had people through the years that poured time and energy and love and encouragement to help us become what God wants us to be. And sometimes discouragement, sometimes troubles in life, and we forget all those people. And we forget all the good things that's happened to us. And we forget how they believed in us and how they wanted us to do so well spiritually, and how people saw within us potential, and that maybe someday we could do what they were doing. We could help others. We could become the teachers, the shepherds, the preachers. And we tend to forget those things. And when we forget that, we forget all the goodness that's been poured upon us.
To the larger point of your sermon, one of the best ways to remember the people who have helped us in the past is to sit there with others in the present who are going through difficult times. When we are there and we sit where other people sit, not only hopefully are we an encouragement to them, but we start thinking about those who sat with us in times past. One of the things that the Holy Spirit leads Peter to say is, if you forget this, if you're neglecting to supplement your faith with all of these things, it takes a toll on your ability to see. We've been talking a lot this year at Charlestown Road about the importance of seeing and how we see. The word, at least, that the ESV uses in 2 Peter 1:9 is nearsighted. And I've always got to think carefully about this because it's backwards, at least in my head. But as I understand it, if you are nearsighted, you can't see things that are very far away, right? And so your perspective begins to suffer. Boy, do we need perspective right now in the midst of the storm that we are going through as a church and as a community and as a world. We need perspective as to who's in charge and what really matters and how to endure. When we're not supplementing faith with virtue and virtue with knowledge and so on from this list, we can't see very far away. We talked here just recently in an episode, I believe it's airing this Friday, about seeing heaven. That's good news, right? We need good news. But when I'm nearsighted, it's awfully hard for me to see heaven. What else, when we forget that we've been cleansed from our former sins, stands out to you?
Well, you know, the word Peter uses is having forgotten his purification. And a person forgets what it's like to be lost. And those of us that are Christians remember, most of us remember the day we were baptized. Many of us remember coming to that decision and realizing that I'm not right with God. And realizing that there's some things that I need to change in my life, but the direction I'm going is not going to take me to heaven. And when you forget that, you forget those feelings, you forget those thoughts that's run through your mind, you're likely to go right back there. And if you are surrounded with those who have no desire of those things, then they will pull you back. And so what Peter is saying is, don't forget you became a Christian. Don't forget why you became a Christian. You became a Christian to leave the world. You became a Christian because you needed Jesus. And when we forget those things, then we start wondering, well, the world doesn't look so bad. Why do I need Jesus? And right back we go into the same mess that we were in. I think a powerful example of this is the prodigal son. You know, there he left home with a pocket full of money, big ideas, big dreams, and he blew it all. He had no friends. He had no help. And he was feeding the pigs, something a Jewish boy would never do, would be working for a Gentile farmer. So low in life, that's where he was. So low in life that he was wanting to eat what the pigs are eating. Now, I've been hungry before, but I've never looked at a bowl of cat food or dog food and say, scoot over, I want to dive in with you. Never, ever have I been that hungry. That's how hungry the prodigal was. Came to his senses, Luke 15 tells us. Came home. But what's interesting is when he got home, some things hadn't changed. The father was still the same father. The obnoxious brother was still the obnoxious brother. But what changed was his vision. What changed was his inside. What changed was the prodigal. And when we forget those things, we're likely to go right back out to where we came from. So here's a couple, and they've been having some marital issues. Maybe they separate for a little bit of time, and they get back together. If something doesn't change, guess what? They're going to separate again, maybe for good. Here's somebody that's discouraged, and he just kind of drops off the map with the Lord. And he comes back. But if he doesn't change, guess what? He's going to drop out again, maybe this time for good. So Peter's words to us are, don't forget your purification. Don't forget how dirty you were. Don't forget how cleansed you became. Don't forget Jesus.
And it is such a serious dilemma, such a serious pitfall to fall into that it's not just being nearsighted. It can get so serious that you are blind. It was blindness that drove that prodigal son into the far country, right? Blindness to the danger of sin, blindness to his own arrogance, if you will. But eventually, you used the phrase that Jesus used, he came to himself. He began to see, right? And that's the journey that all of us go through as human beings, right? All of us sin and fall short of the glory of God. There is sin that begins to dim our vision and eventually make us blind altogether. Jesus can open our eyes. We've spent a lot of time this year already talking about how God helps us see. And here is Peter in 2 Peter 1 saying, don't you now, as a Christian, be blind. Don't be blind to the ugliness of your past, for instance. Don't forget what it was like to be with the pigs.
You know, there are things in life that we want to forget, and there's things in life we ought to forget. And there's a biblical principle behind that. The Apostle Paul talked about putting things behind him, forgetting the past. But then on the other hand, there are some things we must always, always remember, and we should never forget them. And so in the book of Ephesians in chapter 2, verse 11 and verse 12, two times Paul uses this word remember. Verse 11, therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Don't forget that. Don't forget that you weren't the friend of God. Don't forget that there was a time in which you and God were not on the same page. Don't forget where you came from. That's a point Paul's making here. And again, trying to drive that home to us that we have been unworthy to God, and now we have been purified. Now our status has changed. Our relationship has changed. We are now children of God. We are his sons and his daughters. Don't forget those things.
When we forget that initial desperation that we had, we forget how unworthy we were before God. And when we're blind to that as Christians, it's really easy for us to look down on others, right? We don't remember what it was like to be so desperate. And when we see people who are, I mean, their lives are a mess, right? They really need help. If we don't remember what it's like to be desperate and unworthy, how very easily we can step into, for instance, the shoes of that famous Pharisee, right? In Jesus' parable, who looks at that tax collector over there and, God, I sure do thank you that I'm not like that person. What's the problem there? He has forgotten his own sins.
And with this, we can forget how powerful God is to change us. I mean, we look in the past, a lot of us were liars, a lot of us were cheats, a lot of us were dishonest, a lot of us were into gossip. We just name the sins. But look where we came from. Look who we are today. God has been powerful to not only cleanse us, but to change us. As we say sometimes, we have rewired the house. We are different people today. We're not the same person. And when we forget those things, we forget how wonderful the gospel has been on our hearts, how powerful that has changed our hearts and our lives, and where we are today. Again, we're likely just to kind of take these things for granted and kind of go back to where God wants us to be. So let's talk about how do we remember? I mean, Peter's words there is do not forget. Do not forget your purification. Do not forget your former sins, your purifications. And so with this, how do we remember? Because a lot of times as a person gets older in life, they have a memory issue. A lot of people, you get left mileage on you. There's so many memories, it's just kind of hard to keep them all straightened out in your mind. And we can simply forget. So Jason, let's talk about some things in which we can remember.
In the Lord's wisdom, of course, he has provided us the Lord's Supper. That is, I view that as a kind of anchor for my entire week. We talk around here about how Sunday is the best day of the week, and I think of the Lord's Supper as a kind of anchor for everything else. It is my reminder of exactly what we've been talking about, the ugliness of my past, my unworthiness of God, before God, but the preciousness of his grace. Yes, I was desperate. Yes, I was broken right along with humanity. But as you've just brought out, the power of the gospel and the difference that that has made in my life. Now, I am welcomed by God and called to proclaim his death and the good news of his resurrection until he comes. That's fundamental to the life of the disciple in our remembering.
And what's interesting is, you know, we remember an anniversary once a year. We remember certain holidays once a year. We'll be coming into Memorial Day here this month. We remember other events just once in a while. But God doesn't want more than a week to pass. He wants us to be right there in the forefront of our eyes. Every single week we remember this death. It's because of that death we even have the purification. It took that death to give us the purification. So God says, remember, do this in remembrance of me. That is right before our eyes all the time. And that's tied into worship. And how do I remember? One way is by worshiping God. Now, again, in our social distancing at this time, we're having to do this at home, but I need to be doing this. I need to be opening my Bible. I need to be singing hymns to God. I need to be praying to God. What that's doing is that's putting everything right before my eyes. How can I forget the Jesus who died for me, when I'm right there talking to him, I'm reading scriptures about him, I'm seeing his wonderful work, I'm engaging in Bible classes. And so that's a great way to remember that. Putting scriptures before us is a great way. Mark 16, we find the Lord rebuking the apostles for their unbelief. That's a common statement, especially in the book of Matthew. Five times he would say, "O ye of little faith." What makes Mark 16 so interesting is it deals with the resurrection. The women came back and told the apostles, but they would not believe. The two men on the road to Emmaus, they came back and told the apostles, they would not believe. There's a third element that's not listed here, but we know this. That is, the Lord himself had told them. At the very first miracle, John chapter 2, in that later context, it says, tear down this temple and I will raise it up in 3 days. He was talking about his resurrection, and sprinkled all through his ministry, he talked about his coming death, his burial, and his resurrection. What had happened to those apostles? They had forgotten what Jesus had said. So how do I remember? I pour scriptures into my life. I'm a daily reader of the Bible, and I'm not just reading a chapter to check it off on the list. I'm thinking about these words. I'm looking at these things. I'm engaging these things. I'm busy in the kingdom of God.
And I think it's so important before we wrap this episode up to realize all of this is really driving to the difference we are called to make as kingdom citizens, right? That we have been saved that we might serve. We have been comforted that we might comfort. That's the flow of these New Testament epistles. We were blind. God has opened our eyes, and now he's calling us not to forget. Don't forget your former sins. Don't forget the people who have helped you. Don't be so nearsighted that you think you are in control of sin. That's the path to being blind once again. Forgetting how ugly sin was, forgetting how unworthy and desperate and broken you were. Don't be blind to that. Open your eyes so that you begin to see the difference you can make in the lives of others. That's the flow of this 2 Peter 1 list. It starts with my faith. I add virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, but you remember how the list ultimately ends. Brotherly affection, love. When I see as God wants me to see, I not only see inwardly, but I see outwardly. I see the difference God can make through me in the lives of others.
On Sunday mornings, we're in my class, we're doing a study of the miracles. And to what Jason just said, can you imagine somebody who was blind? John 9, a man blind from birth, and Jesus heals him. And we could catch up to that man 10 years later. Oh, I forgot I used to be blind. He would never,
never,
ever forget that. That song we sing, Amazing Grace, I once was lost, but now I'm found. And so there are principles that I think once we have them etched on our heart, we'll always keep this memory before us, remembering where we were, remembering what God has done for us, remembering where we want to go. Those are powerful principles.
You mentioned earlier some things that we ought never to forget, and it made me think of one of your quick quotes from earlier this week. The best way to forget your problems is to help someone else solve his. And we're not concerned about the problems of others when we're forgetting our former sins. This is where the rubber meets the road, sitting where others are sitting, realizing that we all have a past and it isn't pretty. We all have a Savior who isn't ready to give up on us. We all have a future, right? And we will have the opportunity to sit with God forever. What an amazing, amazing thought. I've got the privilege of preaching this coming Sunday morning, and I want to go to a different section of Scripture that we've been wading in with our daily Bible reading schedule. We've been reading in recent days about the amazing church in Antioch. It's just a fantastic example in that New Testament book of Acts that teaches us about real-life brethren. These weren't mythical people. These were just ordinary people. But you look at what the gospel was doing in the lives of these people, how the gospel was shaping them, and the impact for the glory of God and the good of other people in Antioch, of all places. Those things have been preserved for our learning. And I'd like to go back this Sunday with you to some of those middle chapters of Acts and just spend some time with those brethren and allow them to be our models for the week. We're looking forward to that. As Roger mentioned, we've got classes on multiple fronts, a variety of different adult classes that are being added on Sundays and Wednesdays. We've got resources for young children. We've got just a wealth of things that are constantly being uploaded to charlestownroad.org. We would love to have you take advantage of those things. Roger, any closing words for the day?
I think the two words would simply be, don't forget.
Don't forget. Well said. Thanks for joining us today, and thanks for continuing to listen. We are already looking forward to Sunday. If this has been helpful to you, we would certainly encourage you to share it. Let people know about the resources that will be available this weekend. We appreciate you continuing to tune in. Please continue to grow with us.